Next week, we will return to a message series we've been in at First Baptist Church leading up to Easter called He Died For Them Too. We will return to that next week. But this morning, we're going to step out of that series for just a moment because of the times that we are in. We're going to reflect on the anxiety that we sense and that we feel and that many of us have experienced even now. It seems like things are changing so rapidly in our culture due to the COVID-19 virus and the way people are responding and reacting to that. People get afraid. And people get scared. And evidently, when people get afraid and they get scared, they buy up all the paper goods at Walmart. I don't know why you need to stock up on toilet tissue because there's a virus, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. But, you know, the most alarming thing I learned, this is how you know things may be worse than you think they are. This morning I learned Walmart is actually closing from 11 to 5, 11 p.m., 5 a.m. starting today. Instead of being open 24 hours, they're going to only be open 6 to 11. So things are changing, we need to get a handle on that. Why be so afraid? You know, we live in a fallen world, and as long as we live in a fallen world, there will be conflict, there will be disease, there will be viruses, because we live in a fallen world. And we don't let those things dictate our understanding of God and our relationship with God or with one another. Instead, we let God tell us who He is. People get afraid in these kinds of situations. It's helpful to remember that death and disease have been with us since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden. That's part of it. This is not to diminish death and disease. This is not to diminish heartache or the anxiety that we feel, but just to put it in perspective. According to the CDC, every year in the United States, 600, and these numbers are rounded up, 650,000 people die of heart disease, 600,000 die of cancer, 170,000 of accidents, 160,000 of chronic respiratory diseases, 150,000 of strokes, and 85,000 or more die of diabetes in this country every year. We live in a fallen world. That's a fact. It's how we respond to that that matters. And we want to respond in a way that is honoring God, and we want to listen to Him and to what He says. You would think that every religion would give insight into how to respond to fear and anxiety, but it's not about the religion. It's about our perception of God and what God says to us. As Christians, we believe in the one true God who revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. Some religions don't believe in Him. Many do not. So they have a different perspective and take action a different way. I read this weekend that a group of Hindus in the capital city of India gathered together to drink what they believe is a protective cure for the coronavirus. Cow urine. Cow urine. Now, we have irrational responses when our religion doesn't tell us who God is in a helpful and healthy way. But the Bible tells us who God is. The Bible reveals to us who God is, His compassion for us, His love for us, and gives us a healthy and wise response. If you have your Bible in front of you, find with me Psalm 27 in your Old Testament this morning. Psalm 27, it's a psalm of King David. And while you're turning there, let me give you an idea of what's going on. David, of course, we know from Scripture, one of the most famous characters in all of the Bible and perhaps in all of history is King David. Best known for killing Goliath, his one great victory, also a great failure with Bathsheba when he committed adultery, but everywhere in between, he is famous, he is wise, and he is a warrior. In Psalm 27, however, David opens his heart to his own anxiety and even uncertainty because he is fleeing from an enemy. He is facing an enemy that he's uncertain about. He doesn't know what comes next. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Here is a man who is a seasoned warrior, a veteran, in fact, of wars, and yet he finds fear at times. And how he responds to that fear in the face of uncertainty teaches us a great deal about how God wants us to respond to fear in the face of uncertainty as well. We're going to start off just by reading one verse, the opening verse of Psalm chapter 27. So look there with me, Psalm 27 and verse 1. What's interesting about this is David's first verse is his conclusion. And we're going to look this morning at how he arrived at this conclusion, but his first verse is his conclusion, and this is what the Bible says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. David would say elsewhere that God is an ever-present help in times of trouble, that God is a hiding place, and like here he says, God is a refuge. In the ancient world, warriors like David sought refuge and fortresses. That was the safe place to be. So especially as a king, he would want to be in that refuge, in that fortress. To fight any battles from your fortress, that was where you wanted to be if you had to fight a battle. But what if you were caught out in the open? What if you were uncertain of the enemy that was chasing you? What if you were trying to push away fear and stand courageously, but you desperately needed a fortress? David says, God is my fortress. God is my stronghold. I don't need that walled city on the hill when I have God with me. Even if the enemy finds me out in the plain or out in the open or out in the wilderness, I know that God is my fortress. He is my stronghold. Because of that, David is able to overcome his fear and hide himself in the stronghold of his God. I want us to learn that this morning for ourselves. Because some of you may very well this morning not only be concerned about the coronavirus, but can be concerned about other things. Maybe there are things that frighten you, especially uncertainty. And if there's anything that is sure and certain about the coronavirus is that we're uncertain what's going to happen next. That's not the only thing that brings those kinds of emotions. There are times that uncertainty is the only thing that we're sure of. And that brings anxiety and that brings fear. This morning we want to learn again how we can overcome that fear by coming into the stronghold of our God. He is our God. He is our stronghold. He is our refuge. So we're going to walk through these verses together. We're going to read first starting at verse 7, and then we'll walk through these verses and we'll learn from David again ways that God overcomes our fears when we trust Him and count on Him. Look at verse 7 in Psalm chapter 27. David continues, he says, Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you. Seek His face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me. God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Look with me this morning at five ways that God overcomes our fears. When we come to God as our refuge, five ways that God overcomes our fears. First, we overcome our fears, God overcomes our fears when we seek God's presence. We seek God's presence. David says, my heart says to me, seek Him, seek His presence, seek His face, which reflects the presence of God. Then he promises to do it. I will seek your face. The most important thing you have in your relationship with God is your relationship with God. It's not that God answers all your questions or solves all your problems. It's your relationship with God that matters most. He is your constant. He is your absolute. And that relationship never changes, and God never changes. The first step to overcoming your fears is not to isolate yourself from God. It's to approach God. It's to be close to God. It's to seek God's face and be in that refuge with Him. David says God loves him so much as a heavenly father. God is not like human parents. Did you notice that? He says human parents will even abandon their children. And in his time all around him, that happened frequently, especially in other religions. In the world around him, people abandon their children, often giving them over to the religion. In our culture, people frequently abandon their children. In abortion, they take the lives of their own children, fathers and mothers, doing such a thing to their children. But David looks at God, and in the refuge, he remembers, When I seek your face, I recall you never abandoned me, God. You're not like an earthly parent. You're a heavenly Father who loves me and never leaves me. When you are afraid, when you are anxious, when you are concerned, seek his presence and overcome that fear. Second, David reminds us, to overcome our fears, remember God's past. Remember God's past in your life. Look at verse 9 again. David reveals one of the key reasons that he overcomes his fear and remembers to come into the refuge of God. You have been my helper, he says. You have been my helper. He's not reminding God of that. He's reminding himself of that. David was an expert at anchoring himself in the past actions of God in his life. He was really very good at it. He taught it in the Psalms. Solomon, his son, taught it in the Proverbs. We see it over and over again because the Bible consistently teaches to anchor your anxiety, your concern about the present in the behavior of God in your past. God always behaves the same. He is always the same God. So the way he responded to you and your faith in the past and the way he's doing it in the present is the way he'll do it in the future. You trusted him in the past, trust him in the present, you can trust him in the future. In my past, David says, you have been my helper. That means I want you to do that again. I want you to behave like God to me always and be my helper in this situation. I need you to be my God. David had gained experience in this all of his life. One of the little truths about David is that he had a habit of keeping mementos from battle. And this bolstered his faith. You'll recall as a teenager when he stood before King Saul and he said he would face Goliath. The reason he knew that he could face Goliath is that he had killed the lion and the bear who had come after the sheep that he was tending for his father Jesse. He looked at his past and said, God helped me then. God will help me now. If I could face the lion and the bear, I can face Goliath. He's nothing. Then when he kills Goliath, he takes Goliath's sword and finishes off the giant. Then he keeps Goliath's sword. And the Bible says that he hid it in his tent. David took Goliath's sword and kept it in his tent. Why would he do that? Because every time he got apprehensive or concerned about another battle coming up or another foe that he would face, he would go into his tent, he would unwrap that sword and say, see, God did this. I was faithful to him, and God came through, and I do not need to be afraid. Later in David's life, he is fleeing another foe. And he goes to visit a priest, and he prays to the priest, and at the time, prays with the priest, but at the time he doesn't have a weapon, and he asks the priest, do you have a sword? And it's interesting, the priest says, of course I do. I have Goliath's sword here with me. See, sometime in the intervening years, David had taken that sword and dedicated it to the Lord and passed it off to the priest. Now he was looking for it. He saw it. He just wanted to be sure the priest still had it. The priest said, of course I have it. And it's yours if you need it again. See, what the Bible's reminding us of is now and then we're going to need again to be reminded of God's great work in the past. Now and then you're going to need that sword again. Sometime along the way, you're going to face a fear, an anxiety, a foe, and you're going to wonder, God, you're going to say, God, I've never faced anything like this before. How do we do this? And God's going to say, you remember when we did this, this, and this? I'll do that again. God helps us overcome our fears when we remember God's work in our past. It's important that when you are anxious or afraid, that you remember what God has done for you. Now, I should bring up, there's a problem if you don't remember anything that God has done for you. There's a problem if in your fear and anxiety, you just stay fearful and anxious and you wonder who God is and what he will do. What that tells me is that you have not trusted God in the past. Perhaps you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, but you've never relied on him. You've been relying on yourself. Well, now you're in a situation you need to trust him. And he will come through. Seek his presence. Remember what God's done for you in the past. Third, David reminds us also to overcome our fear and how God overcomes our fear. Follow God's path. Follow God's path. He literally says that. And he says, God, show me or guide me on your path. the direction you want me to go. The term literally means teach me your way or teach me your path, the direction I go. And the picture he has in mind is of him and his forces, his mighty men, those who would fight battles with him, going through the wilderness, trying to find a clear path out of there and moving forward in the direction they need to go. And he says, God, I don't want to have to weave and wind around barriers. God, I need a straight path. I need the direction that you want me to go. God, what do you want me to do? In every situation we are in of uncertainty, every difficulty, including this with the coronavirus, we will have to make decisions. And it seems as if those decisions come in rapid succession. Things change rapidly. And decisions are before us constantly. Every time a decision arises, seek his presence, remember his past, and say to him, God, guide me in your path. Show me a clear access and a clear direction that you want me to go. God doesn't always take us in the direction or the path that we think he will, or the direction that we want to go. But God always gets us where he wants us to be. I've told this story before at First Baptist. It's always a reminder for me of how God works. A few years ago, I was at the hospital in Chapel Hill visiting a church member, parking the parking deck, and this is how I am. I want to park in the same place every time I go and park in a parking deck so I can find my car. So I park in the same place, and I'm heavily dependent on the Google Maps lady to get me where I need to go. Now, when I go to Chapel Hill, I go Interstate 40 to Chapel Hill, and that's what I had done that day. And inside the parking deck, I turned on the Google Maps lady, and I put in my home and the direction I needed to go, but she did not connect. The GPS was down, and she's very helpful. She'll tell you that she can't connect. There's no GPS. And she did not connect until I had already come out of the parking deck, and I was headed down to the first stoplight, and I was in the lane to go straight, and right then, as I'm driving through the intersection to go straight, she tells me to turn right. So I missed my turn, and I thought, no harm, no foul. The Google Maps lady knows where we're going, and she knows I need to get to Interstate 40. So she took me on through, didn't make me turn anywhere, just said, just keep going. I said, okay, this is great. So I entrusted myself to the Google Maps lady, and off we went. And we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and there was no sight of Interstate 40 anywhere. The longer I went, the more worried I became. And finally, I was out in the country on a two-lane road, no one around, no other traffic. And I really did wonder if maybe this is what the Google Maps lady does with disobedient people. She takes them out somewhere, and they're never seen again. I finally came across a white frame church. There was no one there. I pulled over in their gravel parking lot, and I tried to look up on Google Maps where Interstate 40 was. And this was especially unnerving. I couldn't find Interstate 40. I had no idea where it was. So I text Kim, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to be home. My affairs are in order. This apparently is it. And then I turned back on the Google Maps lady, and off we went. On and on and on and on. And I drove close to, right about 2.5 hours. And suddenly, I was exactly where I knew to be. I was entering Columbus County and then heading toward Shalote and heading toward home. And of course, being a prideful human being, I said, I got this. And I turned off the Google Maps lady. But up to that point, I really had no earthly idea where I was. But she knew exactly where I was going. She just took me a different route to get there. Frequently, that's what God does. It's a good illustration of God's path. And when you ask for God to help you with decisions, to show you his path, that may very well be what it is. It may not be what you expect, but it's always what God wants. Trusting God will always get you to where God wants you to be. Follow God's path. Let go of those fears. Overcome the fears. Trust God for where you're going. Seek him. Remember the past. Follow his path. Fourth, trust his plan. The next way to overcome those fears is to trust God's plan. Trust him for what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. My favorite verse in this psalm is verse 13. Jesus says, David says, I am certain that I will see the Lord in the land of the living, the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. This is what he's saying. Right now, I don't see God's goodness going on. I'm a little bit apprehensive. I'm uncertain. But here's what I know. I know that God is good, and I know that God's plans are always good for me. And I know that on the other side of this battle, on the other side of this enemy, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, because God is always a God of life. And wherever He is taking me is the right place to be. It's the right direction to go. I don't need to be afraid of what's on the other side. God already knows where we're going. For Christians especially, I would say, but for everyone, I would say, it's important to remember, when God is calling you to trust Him and to trust His plan and to make a decision, God knows what's on the other side of that decision. And when you refuse, or you're unwilling, or because of your uncertainty, you don't want to do what God wants you to do, you don't want to follow God's word or trust God's plan, you never get to the other side of that decision to find out what it is God has in store for you. But whatever He has in store for you is always good. It's always God's goodness in the land of the living. It's the blessings of God, the life of God, the truth of God, of what He has for you on the other side of that decision. Trust God's plan. If you want to overcome your fear, trust God's plan. When you make decisions, seek His path. Ask Him to help you follow His path. And while you're doing that, trust He knows what He's doing. God knows what's in store for us. It may be hard for us to see at the moment, but God knows what lies ahead. And God knows what's in store for us. Trust His plan. He knows what He's doing. Then last, to overcome our fear, David reminds us, await God's power. Await God's power. On the other side of that fear, God wants you to see Him work. He wants you to see Him show up and do what only God can do. In verse 14, David suddenly is talking to someone else. He's not talking to God. He's been talking to God, but suddenly he's talking to someone else. And I would like to think that someone else was partly himself. But remember, he has warriors with him. And it could be that even these seasoned warriors, these battle-weary men, are wondering what's going on. It could be that they're a little bit anxious about this uncertainty and about this enemy that they face. It could be that he looks around and he sees their faces and he says, "Gentlemen, I've been through this. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Be courageous in Him. But wait on the Lord, because when God shows up, you're going to get to see what God can do." Sure, we can fight battles. We can make plans. We can do what we think is right. But wouldn't it be much better to follow God's plans, to trust Him, and then see Him show up in power? And that's what God wants for all of us. In this time of anxiety and uncertainty, when we are facing this virus or the next one or the next one or the next one, God always calls us back to trust Him. Don't be afraid. Now, the Bible says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of strength and of love. God doesn't make us afraid. It's the circumstances, it's our doubt, it's the enemy, but it's not God. Instead, God calls us to trust in Him. And God teaches us also to take practical and wise steps. Hey, take care of your family during this crisis. Do whatever you need to do for hygiene during this crisis and during this virus. Work with the healthcare professionals during this time. But don't be afraid, because God is still in charge. And God knows what's on the other side of all of this. Wait for His power. In 2018, Hurricane Michael came crashing ashore in Florida. And in Mexico Beach, Florida, nearly every home was wiped out right there on the coastline except one. And images of this one home are extraordinary. How did that happen? How did that come about? Two men, an uncle and his nephew, had decided to build a home at Mexico City Beach, Florida, and they wanted to fortify it in a way that had not been done before. They wanted to withstand any storm or any hurricane. So they went above and beyond the codes. They went above and beyond what was necessary. They fortified the home with more concrete than was needed. They used special screws when they built the home. They put it on pilings that went 40 feet down. They made sure that there were no gaps in the roof line and no way in the roof line that air could get underneath. And when Hurricane Michael rolled ashore, they were 400 miles away watching from a rooftop camera the hurricane hit the coastline and their home. And they watched as the hurricane literally engulfed that home, and they watched their roof waffle just a bit on the camera, and they watched everything else around them nearly destroyed. And then they watched as the hurricane dissipated, and there was their home still standing, because they had gone above and beyond to build a fortress, a stronghold that they could trust. God is the stronghold that you can trust. God is the one that is faithful to you, that never changes, that never wavers. You can hide in Him and come to Him with your fear, and in Him He will overcome your fear. This morning I want to pray with you in just a moment, but I want to ask you two questions before I do. If you know you're trusting Christ as your Savior, or you know you have trusted Him, and you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, do you trust Him for this storm? Will you give to Him your anxiety and your fear? Will you seek His face this morning and hide in Him? Let Him lead you in trusting in His plans and taking practical steps, but trust in Him. Let Him be your stronghold. Would you hide in Him? Would you admit to Him that you've been afraid instead of trusting Him? And would you give Him that fear today? I want to pray for you in just a minute. But as I pray in a moment, I want to invite you, as you pray with me, to entrust that fear to Him, to give Him that anxiety, to give Him that fear, to ask Him for help in making decisions, to ask Him to make His path clear to you so that you know what to do. And maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're sitting at home, or you're in the sound of my voice, wherever you are, but you know today you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you and to bring you in relationship with God. I want to invite you to do that today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want to invite you to pray that prayer with me. It's a prayer that acknowledges first that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We need Christ to save us from our sins. All this time you're trying to solve your own problems, the reason you can't do that is because you don't have the power. It's because you're a sinner. All people are. No one's better. No one's without sin. But everyone needs Christ. So first we admit that, but then second we admit and we trust Christ that He died on the cross for us. He came into this world to pay for our sins, and God raised Him from the grave, and He's alive today. Then I'm going to pray with you in believing that to give your life to Jesus Christ, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to cleanse you, and to give you a home in heaven. You'll acknowledge that you're going to follow Him as your Lord and your Savior. I want to invite you to do that today. And Jesus Christ will immediately forgive you of your sins. So for those two things, I want to pray for us this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we pause in this moment, God, first we're thankful for Your Word, and we thank You for preserving Your Word for us through King David, through this battle-weary warrior who remembered that You are the stronghold, You are the one we trust in times just like this. Father, I pray for all of us You would take away that fear. First, forgive us, God, for being fearful and anxious instead of trusting You. And I pray this morning, God, that You would take away that fear. It may not only be about the virus, it may be about our finances, it may be about relationships. Maybe we're afraid of what's happening in someone else's life. And Father, we bring all of that to You. And for all of us, God, I pray that You would cleanse us of that fear. We believe You, we believe Your Word. You never change, God, so we trust You with this. We come to Your stronghold, Your fortress this morning. We hide in You. Father, take away that fear. Show us Your path. Show us decisions. Give us wisdom. Help us to trust Your plan. God, we look forward to seeing Your power and what You're going to do. Remind us, God, that You're always there. So, Father, we give to You those fears, those anxieties. We pray again for our nation, our county, our state, God, our world. But we do that not out of fear, God, but out of trust in who You are and what You're doing. And Father, for that one who this morning would say they want to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, together we pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself. And Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. You paid for my sins on the cross. And you rose from the grave to give me eternal life. So Jesus, come into my heart, into my life. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess to you I'm a sinner. Forgive me of those sins. Cleanse me, God, and give me a home in heaven. And starting today, I follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me day by day. And thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, for those who just prayed that prayer right now, I pray they would know that liberation that comes from trusting Christ as their Savior and being forgiven of their sins. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.